Welcome to 94 and More, presented by Bristol Studio. While a basketball court might be 94 feet, we believe it's limiting to solely look at this beautiful game as a sport. In our minds, it's closer to an art form, even a tool through which we can study the world and learn about ourselves. I'm your host, Jake Fenster, and on this podcast, we will explore the game of basketball, not only as a sport, but as a dynamic force that influences culture, builds bridges, and has the ability to shape our national conversation. Hope you enjoy. As always, feel free to reach out to us at 94@bristol-studio.com and follow us on Instagram at Bristol Studio and at 94 and More Podcast. All right, let's get into the show.
Today, I am joined by Vic. Vic, what's going on?
Jake, what's up, man? Good to be back.
Since you called this gathering, you felt like you had something you wanted to bring up. So I'll let you kind of lead this.
I did, man. This is a podcast coming kind of on the back end of my Australia experience. You know, I just thought it'd be cool to check in, kind of do another one of these just to recount some funny stories of Australia, talk about your Lakers going from NBA champions to a play-in round, the draft, the Bears getting Justin Fields. I mean, we have a lot to talk about, man. It's just electricity in the air over here.
Well, we'll get to the Lakers last. We'll get to our biased sports opinions towards the end of this. Let's start with Australia, man, because it feels like just yesterday we were talking about, you know, what you were expecting going out there and what your hopes were for that journey. You know, where are you at with everything and what does it all mean to you looking back on it?
I think now that I've had a lot of time, like kind of to myself, you know, being injured, you get to reflect or recount on just a lot of stuff. I think this Australian experience has been really cool because it's given me another appreciation of the game of basketball. And, you know, with this podcast, 94 and More, just how basketball can go, and not just basketball, but sport can go kind of on a wide spectrum of things spiritually and life-wise. I just feel like being out here has just given me like a taste of a new culture, right? It's made me appreciate like basketball again, because being in the NBA was a dream come true. But then when you come to the NBL and play here, it takes you back to like the college thing, right? Like it's like family atmosphere. All the guys get along. They always want to hang out. It's more about the team game. And it's not as many of the like the flash. It's just about the game, right? Like you're not getting all the bells and whistles that you get in the NBA, but it's still enjoyable because the game is still good. And then you have that camaraderie and team aspect that Australia brings. I guess before I was hurt, like I enjoyed it. But I didn't really understand it as much, right, until I was hurt and my teammates are on the road and I'm sitting in my apartment and I'm like, damn, I really do miss these dudes, right? And it's like I've only known them for 4 or 5 months or whatever, but my Australian experience would not be the same without my teammates.
Yeah. How does that compare to, you know, I know you have some really good relationships with former teammates from college or from your experience in the NBA. How does that compare and what do you think is so unique about this experience versus those?
For starters, like just being in Australia or being internationally playing basketball, a lot of times imports are just seen kind of as commodities or I don't want to make it sound so like objectifying, but you know, you're coming in for.
When you say imports, you mean American players who from the NBA that are then brought over to the NBA.
Or just anywhere, like Americans that are just brought over to a foreign country or foreign to them. And they're playing, you know, in this country, and usually it's on a one-year deal. And the team, if you're with that team for a long time, and you're a local player, you see these guys, these imports coming in, like, just different ones every year. So, you, like, a lot of times, like, I can kind of, like, just envision, right? Like, maybe you don't want to get attached because you know in another 8 months you're going to get a new teammate that's from wherever. And I had just appreciated, like, how welcoming and just transparent the team has been, like, they've just been super cool and have really helped the process be more comfortable for me coming over here, right? Like, I've never been to Australia. For a kid like me coming from Chicago to say, I'll get to visit and live in Australia, right? Like, that's not like a – that's like a pipe dream almost. Like, not a lot of people get to say, like, I've been to Australia, let alone I've lived here for a little bit amount of time. So, you know, I got to see a kangaroo, like, all this stuff. Like, it's just so great, right? And my experience –
I've never seen a kangaroo. I've never seen a kangaroo.
I mean, I've seen a kangaroo, a wombat, a bat hit my window last night. Like, when would a guy, kid from the south side of Chicago, just think like, a freaking bat would slam into my window.
Yeah, that's
and these things are huge too. They're like the size of a football. Like, you know, they're not like, I don't even know what Americans think like bats look like, but they're big.
I would think it was like a little tiny thing.
Yeah, no, they're the body of it's like this big.
Like a chihuahua. It's like a chihuahua flying at your window.
And so the experience just could have been like really like distant for me just because it could have just been basketball and then Australia, right? But my teammates have just made it so inherently welcoming. Like they just want to get to know me, to like you know, bring me into their homes, have dinner.
Yeah.
And just like celebrate this time we have together. And the NBA is great, right? Like NBA has a ton of great stuff. But I would say that like the wholehearted camaraderie aspect is not the same in the NBA. And that's fine. Like the NBA has its own benefits and perks, but I would say like the day-to-day interactions of always wanting to hang with your teammates or feeling like that college brotherhood isn't always the same because the back and forth movement of players, the business side of the NBA doesn't really always allow for that, right? And I would say that although I'm still really cool with a lot of my teammates from the NBA and from America, it is just a different feel when I'm in Australia. Like I love my American teammates, like the guys who I've made those relationships with. But being here is just different, right? And I have a different appreciation for them because of how opening they've been.
So how do you think that's going to affect you moving forward? You know, once you do get through this rehab process and, you know, you have all this time to reflect off the court, where do you think that's going to take you for your next step in your journey?
Right, man. I think this could very well be a blessing in disguise. You know, I did get to play a ton of games. And now that I actually am hurt, I get to take a step back and rewatch the game, right? Watch film, watch what's going on in games, like actually dissecting what's happening again, right? Like, and I got hurt in college and my next season was even better because it sparked something in me, right? Like it just sparked like a whole nother, I can't wait to play again, right? And coming off a year of COVID when no one knew what was going to happen, no one kind of had their regular routine or schedule regimen that makes an off season so powerful. This year is just funky, right? And now that I'll have like a true off season where I can just attack rehab. And then as soon as I get back on the court, go to the court, like it'll allow me to mentally recharge, refresh. And then whatever opportunity I'm going into next year, I'm going to attack. But on top of that, like with the team aspect of this game, I think wherever I go, whether it be the NBA, international, like wherever, in a like real life job, like whatever it may be, I'm going to take this, like put my arm around someone's shoulder mentality wherever I go, right? Because I think it makes it so much better for everyone. And it just allows those players to get outside their box, get a little bit more uncomfortable and feel like, you know, they're welcome when they have guys that are willing to do that, right? And no matter what position I may come in, whether I'm like an international guy, a max player, like whatever it is, I still want to be able to help guys and like just still be down to earth and say, you know, if you need help or you need a ride to the airport or whatever, like I can
call me.
I can get you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like having that like relationship, like comfortability with your teammates is a huge factor.
You know, I think that's a really unique point because you're one of those guys that's been through a lot in a short amount of time, right? Through your college experience, that past year in the NBA and now a year in the NBL, you know, talking about over the last 7 years, right? That's a lot of life experience. You've traveled, you've been hurt, you've, you know, had the highs of the highs, the lows of the lows, you know, not getting drafted, but then working your way up to an NBA roster. You've seen everything and you've seen those guys that don't go out of their way. Those guys that maybe, you know, didn't necessarily give you the time of day or take, you know, a moment out of their day just to give you acknowledgement. And so you probably, you know the value of that. You know how much that would mean to a young player or somebody that's coming up or somebody that needs that guidance. And I think that's a really unique perspective to have on it, to be, you know, you're still young, you're still 25, you know, older than me, but you're only 25.
It's like 25.2. Yeah, it's not, that's neither here nor there. We can add,
but you have the opportunity, you know, to now become one of those guys, to be one of those guys where, like you said, wherever you go, you know, in whatever you find in life, whatever your path is, whatever your success is, you'll always remember this journey. And you'll take that time to go out of your way to be that, you know, be that person, that crutch for somebody that needs it, or just offer up, you know, a moment of time for that person. So I think that's a very special place to be in.
I mean, Jake, it's crazy. I'm about to go into year three of being a professional athlete. I remember, like, I feel like if I close my eyes, I remember like yesterday we were in Vegas for Summer League. You know what I mean? Like, and that was like the first experience of like pro stuff, right? Take the workouts aside, but like just pro basketball when I'm finally on a team playing, right? Me and you were in Summer League. And it's crazy to think, like, just yesterday, now I'm almost in my third year of being pro, right? Like, it just happened so quick. Yeah. And so it's important to, like, really cherish this time, because I've had countless conversations with my family and friends, like, you know, these days just feel super long. Like, they're, like, going by so slow. Like, I want to get home. Like, you know, I'm enjoying my experience, but, like, I miss home. Like, all this stuff. And then I have to snap myself out of it and think, like, when would, like, you know, you never know what tomorrow holds, or like what you never know, like, what kind of experiences you might have later. And like, Australia is beautiful. Like, all the stuff that I've gotten to see out here, right, is just incredible. Like, I couldn't, like, I can describe it to my friends, but I can't, like, physically say, like, this is the feeling you get when you finally get to Australia, right? This is the feeling you'll have when you're in an apartment by yourself and you don't know anyone, right? Like, it just, it's a lot, like. And I'm so thankful that I've gotten to mature and, like, just have so much time to myself to really, like, learn more about myself and just, like, about life, right? Because, like I said, going from being an idiot rookie in Vegas in Summer League to now being a professional basketball player in Australia on a team that's winning and moving forward is, like, it's just something completely different. And I feel like just through my different life experiences, I was more ready than ever when I finally did come over here.
Yeah. I mean, shit, I just kind of was going through the last 3 years. You know, it is crazy how fast things go. And it is super important, you know, like you're saying, to kind of stay in the moment. And you never know when you're going to be in Australia again. You don't know where you're going to be next year. You have no clue. So it is important to make sure you cherish that. You know, when do you leave, by the way? When do you come back to the States?
The first week of June. So it's any day between June 1st and the 5th.
3 weeks. Three weeks. That's right, man. Cherish those 3 weeks. Like, right here. You really don't know. And then you're going to be back in Chicago. You're going to be back in your home. And it's going to feel also, you know, you're going to snap back into that routine again. And you're going to get back once you're back into rehab and you're getting back on the court. This is going to seem like a long time ago. Yeah. But I think it's important, right? All the reflection, all the challenges, everything you've gone through up until this point, it's important that stays present in your mind for this next chapter, whatever it might be.
So let me ask you, what have you, since being in the business, working with Bristol, kind of coming from NYU, what have you learned from Jake just getting out of NYU, going back to LA, to now Jake now, being one of the heads of Bristol Studio, an up and coming, like, very popular new brand, Bristol Studio?
I was talking about this the other day with somebody. I think one of the scariest things that I remember when I was coming out of college, or even when I had internships or whatever it was, you know, I was so afraid to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I was so afraid to mess up. And I think one of the biggest learnings I've had is you're going to mess up.
Right.
It's not, you can't control everything. It's not going to go how you want it to go. You can do your best. You can absolutely try your best and try harder and harder, but still at the end of the day, like, some things are out of your control and some things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And what it's really about is how you respond, what you do when you mess up. Do you fix it? Do you just complain about it? Do you say the world is stacked against me? Or do you say, hey, I'm actually in control and I can do better moving forward? And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned, because I've been thrown into the fire and forced to tackle things that I have no idea how to tackle. Mm-hmm. But you got to figure it out. You got to be resourceful. Yeah. You have to not be afraid to make mistakes with real life consequences. You know, you have to hope they're not so bad. But if you're so afraid to make mistakes, you'll never actually do anything.
But you know what's great about that and about Bristol is that even though you are thrown into those situations, you have a support group around you with Rashad, with Luke, with Masai,
Yeah.
Who are like supportive through those mistakes, right? Because at the end of the day, no one knows what the hell they're doing anyway. Like, right. Everyone kind of fakes it till they
literally,
make it, right? And if you have like, if you have that fear, like, ah, I'm going to mess up, but there's the guy next to you is like, hey, Jake, it's all right. I don't know what I'm doing either. We're kind of like figuring this out together. It gives you like this sense of like, ah, all right, like I can take a deep breath now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not alone in this type of thing. And I feel like it allows you to be more confident to take those risks and to go through this process of life feeling like, you know, I've got a good team around me.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We actually call ourselves the four idiots. You know, whenever we have meetings, whenever we meet someone new, we're just like, oh yeah, we're just four idiots running around, you know, just the four idiots, because, you know, we realize like we take this stuff seriously and every day we, you know, we're doing so many things. We get so caught up that sometimes it's important to remind ourselves like, yeah, we're just four idiots trying to figure this out. You know, we're just trying to figure life out. We don't know what's going on. There's no blueprint for this. Like you think you know what you're doing, but at the end of the day, like, it's impossible. It's impossible to fully know what you're doing in this space. Yeah. So, you know, we just take it one day at a time. And you know, some days you do take it too seriously. Some days, you know, the tensions do arise and you get into it. But like you said, you know, knowing we're all on the same page, we're all just trying to make something happen. We're all just trying to, you know, make our dream come true and build something that is unique and you know, creates a legacy for all of us. You know, that's why we're in it. And that's what drives us. So it's important to always, you know, be there for each other. And it's kind of like what you're talking about with the teammates, the camaraderie that, you know, you're speaking on. You know, we're very lucky to be able to have that. And we've all bought in. So we're not afraid that, all right, you know, one of us is going to go to another team and go play for a different, you know, competitor or this or that. We know we're here. So at the end of the day, we have that. We have the ability to lean on each other, you know, hey, this is what's going on in my personal life. Just need you guys to know, you know, I'm in a tough place right now. And it's, hey, you know what? We got you. Next time, call me. Mm-hmm. Don't wait. Call me. You can always call me. You know, anything going on, that's first. Business, that's like fourth.
Right.
Personal, your life, your mental health, that's first. And when we operate in that space, we can't lose. That's a winning formula to always be able to check in with one another. On some real shit when something goes down, rather than what a lot of people try to do is act like you're not hurting or you're not going through something. And at these bigger companies, you know, you can feel neglected and feel like people don't actually care about your feelings, and that can fester and boil up. And at the end of the day, like, that's just not a winning environment to be in. So we've really cultivated that, you know, in our space and in our team.
Well, I mean, 94 more listeners. I'm super happy you guys got the serious lesson of the day from me and Jake. But I'm gonna switch it up.
give us some funny stories.
I'm gonna switch it up.
Give us some funny stories from Australia.
Literally the other day, guys, me and BJ riding around Brisbane, you know.
Just BJ, your teammate from
BJ Johnson.
Orlando. Okay.
Yeah. Just riding around, you know, showing him Australia, showing him some new restaurants, shops. We ended up at this kind of bar restaurant called the Canvas Club. I think, Canvas Club. And we're in there. We sit down, get some eats. I think calamari and wings. You know, we're just sitting laughing, joking. And we're like, oh, do you want a drink? Yeah. You know, whatever. Yeah, I'll get a drink. You know, I'm never one to say I want one drink. Of course. Yeah, just chilling, relaxing, right?
Just one.
So I'm flipping through the book, right? And there's a drink catching my eye, Death in Paris. Something like, oh, that's a cool name, right? I mean, in hindsight, like, it probably isn't like the best name. I don't know why.
But
like,
it spoke to you.
Yeah, right then, right? And so it's like, in it is like sherbet, some juice, some other juices, Tasmanian champagne, and absinthe, right?
Okay,
And since like the beginning of like me, like first starting drinking when I was 21, absinthe was always like this. It was like moonshine, right? It's like this kind of like unknown kind of dangerous liquor that's like, is it banned, like can you have it type thing. The only thing I had known about absinthe is that it makes you hallucinate, right? So I'm thinking,
not
like
really,
there's no way this bar in Australia at 4 p.m. is selling a drink that's gonna make you hallucinate. So of course I jump on and I'm like, yeah, give me one of these,
Yeah, right? What's it going to do? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell the listeners the definition of what is absinthe, right? Absinthe, the plant, a.k.a. common wormwood, is there is a myth of hallucination which was widely spread by Henri de Toulouse and other famous absinthe imbibers during the late 1800s. All those artists were drinking absinthe where they were doing way too much other stuff. So that's the Google. That's the Google. If you type in...
They were what doing way absinthe? Too much other stuff. I love that.
What is absinthe? That's what's coming up, right? Yeah. So I'm thinking like, yeah, like, let me try it, right? So he brings it out. It's in like a champagne glass. So it's not that much, but I paid for a mixed drink. So I'm thinking like, it must be strong as hell if it's in a champagne glass, right?
So or they're just ripping you off.
Yeah, so I take my first sip of it. Okay. It's smooth, but I definitely taste something. Something is trying to knee me in the chest on the back end of this drink, right? So I take two more sips, and my friend BJ is like, hey, you know, how does it taste? Because he's thinking about getting one. And I'm like, yeah, like you, this is, there's definitely absinthe in this. Yeah, I've never had it.
Something
but if I had to imagine what absinthe tastes like, this is it. And so I tell him, like, you got to get it. So he orders one, and he sips it. And as soon as he sips it, it's as if some, it's the face on one of those, like sour lemon drop candy. Yeah, yeah, like one of those. Yep.
Eyebrows raised, yeah.
We're laughing and joking, and we're like, if we drank three of these, like, I'm betting my, like, you know, I'm done for the night. Like, I'm not going out. It's probably going to end up me watching Netflix on the couch.
You're crawling home from the bar.
Yeah. So we get into an argument, right? Like, we go back and forth telling funny stories. We get into an argument, like, what do you think four grown men, right, who are just chilling, could buy a bottle of absinthe and finish it and be okay, right? Like a fifth of absinthe.
It's like a 750 milliliter bottle, like a standard
bottle. Yeah, yeah, that you would buy. If we're making mixed drinks and stuff and taking shots, could we finish a bottle between four people, right? If all four of us drink the same amount, can we finish it? And BJ's like, yeah, like I think, yeah, we'd be all right. We'd be like good after, like, you know, we wouldn't drink anything else at night. But I think we'd be all right. We still go out and stuff. And I'm like, nah. I think we'd be out for the count, man.
He's like,
I don't think so. So the waiter comes over and he gets in the argument. He's like, depends, right? Because absinthe ranges from 45% to 76% alcohol. He's like, it depends on which one you get. Like, are you getting the 45 or are you getting the 18th century knock you on your ass wormwood one?
Don't forget with the other stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, well, clearly we're doing the 50 to 60. You know, we're not killing ourselves. We're not doing the juice. So I'm like, we do the 50%. He's like, I don't know. So me and BJ continue laughing. The guy just leaves. He comes back with two bottles of absinthe. And he's like, here's one that's 50. Here's one that's like 55, 57%, right? And so he's like, he brings out glasses. He's like, I'm going to let you guys taste them. Like, you know, like not a full shot, but like,
yeah,
like
a sip it, little sip,
maybe a third of a shot, right? He's like, here, I'll let you taste both of them. So and mind you, we still have not finished our mixed drinks, so we do the 50% one, right? And the 50% one was like Australian absinthe made there, like, because it's not banned in Australia. Take that. It was like a Chuck Norris roundhouse kick to the face. Take it, right? All right, he's like, okay, we have another one that's made in New Orleans, but they take out some of the stuff, like I feel like some of the plant stuff that really does make absinthe, but it's still like, it's the same ingredients type thing, right? But to get it from being banned in America, they have to take stuff out. He's like, here's this one, and it's 55%. Mm-hmm. Pours it to us. And that one's smoother, right? So we're like, oh, well, it's horrible still. Like, you know, I'm not saying like, it's like a cup of water, but it was smoother than the other one. Like the Australian one, definitely. The Australian one had me thinking like wormwood was in my face. But so like we're like, all right, that's enough. Like, I don't, give me a gallon of water now. And you know, we're finished our food and we're like, all right, I think we need to sit here, chill for like 20 minutes. Let it like run its course, you know, whatever, so we can go home. But we live 3 minutes down the street. So this is, I could tell you like how bad the absinthe was. We finish our drinks, like try to like skull the little champagne glass.
Yeah.
Finish it, get back. You know, I'm feeling all right, get back. And I'm driving. And I swear to you, a bus turned out into the road. It wasn't his turn. He just kind of like flew out. And I'm like tripping. I'm like, yo, I think I might need to pull over on the side of the road. We might just have to walk back. If people are driving like this, I don't know, man. Is everyone drinking absinthe? You know, I'm thinking like, is everyone drinking absinthe tonight? What's going on? And so we get home. I went to bed. We got back at like 6. At 8:15, I was laying face down on my couch with a wet towel in the back of my neck. Because I was like, I've never felt like this in my life. Oh, my God. Never in my life would I think a mixed drink and a shot would have me like out of commission for what felt like months. Like even today, I still feel kind of, this was 3 days ago. I still feel kind of like the effects of the absinthe.
So now you know. Now you know.
I've conquered it. I don't think I need to try it again.
I don't think you conquered it.
If someone says, Vic, you want to try absinthe? I'm like, I've had that phase in my life. You know, I had my absinthe phase. I don't think I'm going
to
do that.
There's anymore. An important distinction to be made though. You didn't conquer the absinthe.
I did though.
Seems like it conquered you.
Everyone in college has that like $6 fifth of vodka Bombay phase where you just are like drinking anything, right? And you're, right. You do that and you're done. I had my absinthe phase. Was it shorter than others? Maybe, but I had it. All right, I conquered it. What I can say is you've never had absinthe. I know that.
I think I did once in Paris. But all right, fair enough. So now I have to enter an absinthe phase.
Yeah.
So that we can compare notes. And we can see
what you think of it when you had it.
I don't really remember. I think it was like a watered down version of it.
He blacked out off one drink of absinthe.
I don't think it was a real absinthe. I think it was some watered down version. Because nothing like what you're describing happened. So
maybe they gave you the 45%. I don't know. And they gave you
I don't know what it was.
I was on that Vincent Van Gogh absinthe.
Yeah, so we're gonna have to check that out. We have to go to Australia and see what's going on.
Yeah, get some Australian absinthe. They'll give you the 18th century one. I'll tell you, go to the Canvas Club. They'll give it to you.
Well, it's safe to say that you're done with absinthe for the rest of your time in Australia.
Yeah, I've conquered it. Yeah, I've done that. I've beat that boss.
So now that you're heading back to Chicago, are you going to buy your Justin Fields jersey as soon as you touch down? Are you going to go to the store and get one? Bears fans,
I've ordered one already.
You've already ordered one?
Ordered it already. So it's on the way. The moment the Bears traded up for that pick, I FaceTimed my father and patiently waited those couple minutes. And they said, Justin Fields, I almost cried. I've said it once, but didn't really mean it. But I'll say it again.
The Bears are back.
The Bears are so goddamn back. The city of Chicago is going to be wild this fall, and I wish I could stay and watch it. I'm going to a preseason game. I'm going to watch them. Like, I'm going to turn into like a football analyst now. Like, I'm watching the Bears. I can't wait. I'm stoked for it. Defense is getting upgraded. Our offensive line is getting better. Justin Fields not going to start the season, but I'm sure at some point, you know, maybe they put him in. They don't trade up again, right? This is like I feel like Pace and Nagy's last chance to try and get it right. And I think they did. So I'm excited, Jake. That draft was one of the better moments of my year.
I know you are. And I honestly hope for your sake that the Bears are successful next year.
They've been successful. They made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but you had Maserati Mitch.
But that doesn't mean anything. We made the playoffs. He's a playoff quarterback. You guys got rid of your quarterback.
Okay, that's fine with me. I was never sold on my quarterback. And you knew that from the jump. I told you I was never sold on.
Here's the question, though. Are you really a fan of your team if you're not sold on your quarterback? You almost have to.
I'm a fan of my team. I want him to succeed. Do I think he's our future quarterback? No, because I'm realistic. I mean,
he's got to be why you got him.
But I'm realistic that the guy is missing a couple of things that are pretty glaring. You can see it when he played. When you miss wide open receivers on 10-yard outs and you're a 6'6 quarterback with a big arm and you throw duds 5 yards short when no one's guarding and you're not rushed.
Here's Jake Pfister, Tuesday night quarterback.
No.
Is it Monday night quarterback? What am I talking about? Am I wrong?
No one knows. I have no idea. But I'm just saying something stood out to me. Not that I don't think he's a bad quarterback, but did I think he's going to be the guy to go against Brady in the Super Bowl and win? No. Did I hope for it? Yes.
I don't know if that's right. I mean, is he going to be the guy that goes against Justin Fields when it matters? I mean,
no,
Tom Brady got his championship.
No, I know. Now, I'm saying I could tell I wasn't 100% in
that this
was. I know you guy. Weren't. It's clear you weren't 100% in.
I know. That's all.
Fans like me who are 110% both
feet. No, in. No.
It's clear, Jake.
You were out so quickly on the Bears season. You were shocked they made the playoffs. You were shocked. Yeah.
When I was at your house, we watched them beat the Lions. That's not true.
You know, yeah. Perfect example. You thought that game was over, and they came back and won it. I'm pretty sure I was more excited.
Of course they came back and won it. I said, turn the TV back on.
I'm pretty sure I said, turn the TV back up.
Bears are back. Got a noise complaint that day, too.
Now we have a recording of it. So go ahead and make your prediction for the Bears next year.
Oof. I can't make a prediction because Justin Fields isn't going to start the season. He's going to come in like – who knows how Andy Dalton – who knows how Dalton's going to play? Of course.
Not good. We'll make not good. Not good. He'll be out.
What do you mean? Quick.
Andy Dalton.
You never know. Who knows? Like, I'm also a professional athlete, so I'm never one to just jump ship on a guy before he gets his opportunity. You never know.
I've watched Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I haven't watched enough tape. You know what, Jake? This is going to turn into like
John Gruden
film,
yeah, reviewing quarterbacks, like a
film breakdown podcast. We're gonna start breaking down film and tape on the podcast.
Hey, you never know. 94 and more.
Once we start getting
the
on
more,
YouTube,
it's the we'll more.
We'll get the yellow lines. Yeah, we'll get the yellow lines of them. You see this? He's not hitting them. Play. This is a read. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, you know what? We won't make any playoff predictions. We'll let it just.
We're gonna make the playoffs. I already said we're in the playoffs.
All right, so you're in the playoffs.
Aaron Rodgers is disgruntled in Green Bay. If the Bears are smart, we sign Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I've never hated him. I've never liked him. But if he was a Bear, I'd love him.
I'm sure you would. All right, so lastly, before we get out of here.
Yeah, the Lakers.
Go ahead and say what you want to say.
I'm not saying anything. I just was asking a question. See, this
you
is
have something. You have something you want to say.
As an LA fan going from
right. Uh-huh.
The championship to now being in the play-in, how does that make you feel as a fan? That's all I'm asking.
It sounds like there's a little bit of something that you
guys made some key home. Additions in the offseason. You're injury ridden, and you go from championship to now you're in the play-in game. How does that make you feel as a Lakers fan?
Frustrated, but yeah. I believe in the Lakers, and I believe right. I also think they're doing some slick shit right now. I think they're because LeBron and AD aren't playing again. Mm-hmm. I think my gut is telling me they want to slide into the play-in and play the Suns rather than play the Clippers first round as a mm-hmm. 6 seed versus a 3 seed. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think they're doing, which I guess is smart. It's frustrating, but I think they're gonna get it together. If AD's healthy and LeBron's healthy, I'll take our chances.
Right. I think the Lakers are great anybody. If they're fully healthy.
So I bet on them to win the shit like a week ago. So we'll see what happens. Probably not the smartest thing I've ever done, but
I mean, you're a fan, man. You gotta bet on the team.
And I don't bet though. I don't bet, but I had a weird feeling.
So the Lakers play the Clippers in the first round. Who are you taking?
Lakers, because I have to. But the last team I bet on, like actually bet on, which I don't do, was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl.
That was a good bet.
There it is. You don't bet against greatness.
So you're betting for LeBron. Is he gonna be 100% healthy? I think it was wild when he came out with the statement like I'll never be the same.
He's a PR genius, and I think he's not just saying that to say it. He's saying that to set something up. Like,
no, I love LeBron, but you know I was just like
no, but he's very careful with the things he says and does in the media. So I almost feel like that was to kind of give him a little bit of slack, like in some ways, if he takes a night off here or there. I don't know what it was, but I don't know if I like just trust it at face value for what he said.
Who knows? All I'm saying is like one of LeBron's biggest – I love LeBron. One of his biggest things is like LeBron never gets hurt. LeBron's basically Iron Man. He plays. He's always healthy. He's, you know, whatever. And then he comes out with the statement, I'll never be the same. Like obviously it's like a – obviously it was going to blow up. Right, because people have been calling LeBron like Superman since his first MVP. So him saying
who knows
that,
too, he could have also just had like a bad day of he could have been feeling bad and he just was upset and they asked him some questions and that was his response in the moment too. You never know.
Of course, I would also say don't bet against my man Talen Horton Tucker, who's killing it right now. Just made a game winner last night.
He did.
Against who are they playing?
They played the Knicks.
We were rolling.
The game winner, made that game winner. Anthony Davis had a key stop on Julius Randle before overtime.
He did.
And then Talen seals the deal.
Well, when this episode comes out, it'll be after the play-in games. So we will see.
All right. If I'm making my pick, if I have to, if I really never pick on NBA teams, just because, like, you know, I'm trying to get back in the NBA. But if I had to pick a team, I'm saying the Chicago Bears in seven. Bears are back.
Love that's seeing you guys. That's how I know this episode's over. All right, man. Well, next time we do this, I think you'll probably be – no, you'll still be in Australia. You'll still be in Australia.
For sure.
All right, man. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Be good, boss.
Appreciate you. Take care.
This podcast is presented by Bristol Studio, sound editing by Rashad Allen, music by James Grissom.